message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
Certainly glad you've joined us today, and we trust that our time together in God's Word will prove a real blessing and help to you. It's our desire to help you to understand and enjoy the Bible. We don't have anything for you to join. We don't have anything for you to come and be a part of that way. The only thing we're interested in you doing is being a member of the body of Christ. And once you're a member of the body of Christ, then to get into the Word of God and understand the Word of God, have it live in and through you. And if you let God's grace be the thing that dominates and controls your life, then you and I will be one in the real true sense of the word. And that's our desire for you. We trust God's grace and God's Word to work in your life and to do His Word, His will, rather, in your life every day on a daily basis for His glory. And we're not trying to build some great monolithic organization kind of thing. We're trying to spread an organism, a life, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in the Word of God. Jesus Christ said, "The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and their life." That's what this book is. It's the way God's Spirit is ministered to people, and it's where the life of God comes from. And the Christian life, it's not all that difficult. People are trying to live the Christian life all the time, but you'll find if you try to live the Christian life that it's an absolute, completely impossible task. It's an impossibility for you to live the Christian life. Only Jesus Christ can live His life. And only Christ living in you can live the Christian life through you. And that's only accomplished as you, motivated by His love to you, take your faith and rest it in the details of what His words say His will for your life is, and then by faith do what God's Word says to do. That's the Word of God working in you that believe, that produces the power and the energy and the working so that it's God that works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure as you're obedient to what His Word says. Now, you'll never understand God's Word until you rightly divide it. If you don't take the Word of God and apply the principle of 2 Timothy 2:15 to rightly divide the Word of truth, you'll never be able to get the profit out of God's Word He put in it for you. That's why we talk about that on this broadcast. That's why we study. That's why I draw on the chalkboard and we have the charts and different things to show you how to rightly divide the Word so you can know where to go in the Word of God and get the information that God has to us and about us today. We are not the only people God ever had in His program. The body of Christ is one of two agencies in the Word of God. We are a part of the dispensation of grace, which is one of two programs. There's the program of prophecy and the program of mystery, the program of the law, the program of grace, Israel's ministry, and the body of Christ. And those distinctions between law and grace, prophecy and mystery, Israel and the body of Christ, that's the great division in the Word of God. And when you see the distinctions there and you come to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven's glory spoke again after He left the earth. All of the words of Christ are not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. For the Lord Jesus Christ spoke again. And the last person to receive that a message from Him in your Bible is the Apostle Paul. And it's in Paul's writings alone that you're going to find the walk and the doctrine and the duty of the destiny of the church, the body of Christ, of which you and I are members today, if you're a saved person. What God's doing today is not forming a favored special nation to go out and reclaim the earth and the political and economic and social structures in the earth. God today is forming a spiritual body of believers called the church, the body of Christ, putting them in His Son, blessing them with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and equipping us and causing us to grow and to be equipped and learn to be spiritually equipped so that we can live on planet Earth right now for His glory, which will equip us to live in the ages to come in the heavenly places for His glory. Now, the book of Romans is a book of basic doctrines about the basic principles of God's grace to us in Christ. We've come in our study to Romans chapter number 6, which is a very critical juncture, and there's a critical change and a progression of thought taking place in Romans chapter number 6. The first five chapters have dealt with the issue of justification by grace. Now we're going to talk about the issue of living under the rule of grace. The first five chapters deal with the finality of the cross. Now we're going to deal with the power of the resurrection life of Jesus Christ living in and through us. It's one thing to be dead. It's quite another to be alive. The only answer for death is life. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ dies at Calvary and he says to God the Father, blame me for their sins. And God does. And when he blamed him, the judgment was death. And so Christ died for our sins. And he died as us. It was our death he died, not his. He died my death. But then God raised him from the dead because his death put away sin completely and totally. So death couldn't hold him. So God raises him to life. And the reality is, in the Christian life, that it's not just that Christ died for our sins, but it's also that he rose again for our justification. And there's an answer for sin and for death. And that answer is in the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ, taking away sin by the sacrifice of himself and then giving us his life. I say to you many times on this program, Jesus Christ died to pay for everything that was wrong with you. He was buried. And then he was raised again to be the author of eternal life to everyone that believes. And that's a wonderful truth that set forth the last part of that, the resurrection side of it, is dealt with in Romans 6, 7, and 8. And in a way so that you can understand how you've been equipped not just to have a right standing before God and a secure standing before God's justice and an acceptable standing before God. Romans 1 to 5 does that, but now he's going to show you how we've been equipped to live day by day on planet Earth for God's glory. Now he starts this section out with an objection, a logical misconception for an uninstructed mind to have. Verse number 1 of Romans 6. What shall we say then? In light of God's abounding grace, what should we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The idea is where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Every time sin came up, grace got bigger. Sin came up, grace got bigger. You can't out-sin God's grace. The finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary is super abundantly able, far above anything we'd ask or think. So he says, well, then what are we supposed to do? To get God's grace to get bigger, should we sin some more? Says grace gets bigger and sin a little more and grace gets bigger. Is that what we're supposed to do? God forbid. That's like Paul jumping up and down, pulling out his hair and said, no, you're not listening. There's something else going on here. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So wait a minute. How shall we that are dead to sin? What does it mean, dead to sin? Well, that's why he says in verse 3, know ye not? You see, there are some things that we need to learn that they hadn't learned yet in Romans. There are some things we need to know that is going to stop sin's power and control and fruit bearing in our life. He says, know ye not? That so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. That's fascinating when you read that. It's as though Paul was shocked that they didn't know this. This is something that God expects believers to know. And it's something that every believer needs to know and understand. And Paul says, don't you guys know this? You know, the average Christian doesn't know this today. And I say that because I've sat right where you're sitting. I've sat right there in the pews of religion for many years before I got saved and then after I got saved, thinking that what I had to do to gain God's acceptance and God's approbation and God's approval of me was quit my sin, quit my wrong, quit my evil. I got a friend, he says, that his doctor tells him that if it tastes good, spit it out. It's bad for you. And you know, that's the old thing about sin. It seemed like everything you enjoy doing is either bad for you or it's sinful. And you can't do it. And you sit there and you think, well, if I quit doing enough and quit doing enough bad and do enough good, God will accept me. You know what you find in grace? You find what you do isn't the issue. How much you sin or how much good you do isn't the issue. The issue for God's grace is what Jesus Christ did at Calvary when he died and was buried and was raised again the third day. That's what God thinks is important. And when you come to Calvary, when you look there to Calvary and you see that Jesus Christ dies for your sins and God punishes him for you and he was buried and he was raised again over here to give you life, when you trust him, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. His death became our death. His burial became ours. His resurrection became ours. And God takes us and places us into the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he does that, the way you get into Christ, God Almighty up here looks down. And the way God looks down and sees you today is he sees you through the accomplishments of what his son did at Calvary. And here we are now. We're no longer over here in the old life. We're no longer over here in Adam, in who we were by being born. We're no longer over here in our sin. We're no longer over here in our sins and our failure. God isn't seeing us here. God sees us through his son. He sees us over here, and we have the righteousness of God in Christ. We have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have acceptance before God in Christ. We have victory. I want you to see down through this passage all the wonderful things that God gives us in his son. But the whole basis of it is the fact that we've been identified with Jesus Christ to the extent, don't you know, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into his death. Now notice, you're baptized into Christ, and by being put into Christ, you became a part of of what he accomplished. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Notice this identification together with him, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus Christ died, was buried, and was raised again. And when I trusted him, when my faith rested in the truth of God's word to me, that Christ died there and he died for me, and his death was enough, and his death satisfied God, and that's what God trusted in, and I trusted it. And I said, that's not my death, his death, that's my death. He didn't have any sin, I'm the sinner. He didn't have any failures, I'm the failure. He was dying not for his own self, but for me. And I, by faith, claimed his death for me. And I believe what God said about his resurrection in my behalf. God, the Holy Spirit, took me and placed me in the living oneness with his son. And I was baptized into Jesus Christ. Now let me say something to you about that. Only a religious fanatic or a religious traditionalist of the most fanatical bent could ever think that what I just read you there in Romans 6 had anything to do with any water ceremony of any kind. There are people today all over the world arguing about water baptism. Or they argue about the mode of baptism. They argue about who should administer it and who should be the recipient. They have the paedobaptism and the adult baptism and all kinds of tremendous arguments. And what they are really arguing about is their denomination and religious tradition. Because nobody that would ever read about what God did when he baptized you into Christ would ever think that you got baptized into Christ by water. You see, there are a lot of different kinds of baptisms in the Bible. If you hold your hand here and come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in one hand and Galatians chapter 3 in the other. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Galatians chapter 3. Now, there are a lot of baptisms in the Bible, a lot of different kinds of baptism. There's a baptism in water. There's a baptism with the Spirit. There's a baptism with fire and so on and so forth. But there's one baptism, 1 Corinthians 10, where the nation of Israel was baptized under Moses in the cloud and the sea that had no water involved in it at all. That's true also in Romans 6. There's no water involved there. And anybody that reads that knows there's not. You know that the ritual of a water ceremony could never perform the reality of what God's Word says happens to you when you trusted Christ and when you were baptized into Jesus Christ. That's not ritual. That's something that's real. That is a real identification and a real change in your identification. I'm making you a new creature in Christ. And again, I say to you, that's not your behavior. That's your identification, your identity that's changed. You're moved out of Adam into Christ, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into eternal life. Wonderful, wonderful transformation of who you are. And God wants you to understand that. And Paul is almost, it's like he's shocked that the Romans don't know it. I guess if he were to come back today and see the condition of the church, the body of Christ today, he'd have another coronary and go back to be with the Lord. He couldn't stand it. He'd be shocked again. But the reality is that you and I should know what God's Word reveals to us about this. Now, Galatians chapter 3, verse number 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You know how you get to be a part of the family of God? By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For as many of you, now listen, as have been baptized into Christ. When you put your faith in Christ as your Savior, God, the Holy Spirit, baptizes you into oneness, identifies you in living oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ. As many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You know what that means? That means you've put him on. That means what he has accomplished now belongs to you. I put this coat on before we began to make the program here a minute ago. When I put the coat on, you view me in this coat. You see me in this coat. And God Almighty takes the everlasting righteousness and life of his Son and envelops the believer in that. And when God looks down, he sees us in Christ. Now, how'd you get into Christ? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 13. Let me show you something here about the mechanics of positional truth. The mechanics of this new identification. You need to understand how it is that God accomplishes this in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 13. Speaking about the body of Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. By one Spirit. How did you get baptized into Jesus Christ so that you put him on? By one Spirit are we all, every believer. The moment you trust Christ as your Savior, this happens to every person that trusts him today. We are baptized by the Spirit into the one body. You put on Christ the moment that you trust him. Now you say, but preacher, I didn't feel that. I didn't either. I got saved December 31st, 1962. I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. It was about 10 minutes after 8 o'clock in the evening. And I trusted Christ as my Savior. I'd spent months, about 6 months in fact, knowing under conviction, knowing I was a sinner, knowing if I died, I'd die and just fall off into the pits of hell. And I didn't want to die and go to hell. And I did everything, my church and other people's churches. I mean, I went to all kinds of churches trying to figure out what to do. Because I thought you had to do something to believe. And that night, I came to understand for the first time in all of my life that when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he died to do everything. And that all God wanted me to do was to rest in what his Son had done for me. And that night I trusted him. And there was a joy and a release. My sins were forgiven and I knew it on the basis of what God said. And that was a burden and a weight and a load taken off of me. I went from there to try to tell. I was alone. I went from there to tell some people that I'd gotten saved and shared that with others. wasn't long after that somebody came along and said, well, you know, what you need to do now is be baptized. You need to be water baptized in order to have an outward testimony of what happened to you inside. And I was going to a church that it was a denomination that came and told me that, a relative, who wanted me to go and be baptized and immersed and so forth. And I was going to a church that didn't do it that way. I'd been christened when I was a baby, baptized when I was a baby, had godparents and so forth. And so I went to my pastor, and he says, well, you know, you already had it. And I went to the other man. He says, well, you know, you didn't. You got to get it when you're an adult. And I got confused. I didn't know what was going on. I felt inadequate. I felt like all of a sudden, all of this confusion. I was so happy to know that my sins were forgiven, but now I wanted to serve God. And one's telling me I got to do one thing, one's saying, no, you don't need to do it. And I happened to have a friend who knew something about this baptism Paul's talking about. And I went and sat down with him. And I said, Brother Roy, tell me what you think about this. And I explained to him what was going on. He says, well, instead of me telling you what I think, let me show you what God said. And he turned to two verses of Scripture. One of them was Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. That says, and ye are complete in Christ. Then Ephesians 1, verse 3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And he asked me something. He said, Brother Rick, are you in Christ? I said, well, yes. Are you complete in Christ? Verse says, I am. Are you blessed with all? Is there any blessing that you don't have in Christ already? Verse says, I got them all. He says, then what you need to do is just find out what God already has given you, not try to do some more to make him give you some more, because he's already given them all to you. I was complete in Christ. Yeah, that made sense to me. Because there was completeness. I said, but what about the baptism? What about the water ceremony? He said, wait a minute. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 5. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And he asked me, he said, have you already been baptized? And it dawned on me. When I trusted Christ as my Savior, God and the Holy Spirit baptized me into Christ. And when he did that, he made me complete there. In Christ, I got all the blessings that God will ever have for me. That's why there's only one today. Because what God's interested in is reality in your life. Now, I would have never known about that. I could have been caught in the religious confusion that engulfed many around me, many of them my relatives and people that I loved and respected and still do to this day. But my friend, it's more important not to be caught in the confusion of religion than it is to be loyal to earthly ties. You know what I needed to do? I needed to have somebody open up the Word of God and show me the completeness that God gave me in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what that passage in Romans 6 is all about. You never know about it unless you get in the Word of God and somebody shows it to you in the Bible. Because you didn't feel that. You didn't sense it. You have to know it, like verse 3 says, know you not. You have to know it because God's Word teaches it to you. And when you see what God has done for you, then you begin to realize. You know what he says? He says, I'm crucified with Christ. We're crucified with him. Then he says, as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. So not only am I crucified with him, I'm dead with him. Then verse 4 says we're buried with him by baptism into death. So we're buried with him. Ephesians chapter 2 says that we're quickened together with him. We're made alive with him, quickened back to life. Then he says we are raised with him. We've literally been exalted to the Father's right hand with him. And then he says, we sit together with him. Part of his, we are made participants in his heavenly government. And one day, he says, he's going to come back and we're going to go up and be glorified together with him and spend all eternity with him in bodies fashioned like his glorious body. Now get a hold of that. Because of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, everyone that comes to him by faith is crucified, dead, buried, raised, exalted, participates in his government, and will be glorified together with him simply by the fact that we've been placed in Christ. That new identification that God gives to the believer, that new identity that we have in Christ, a part of a complete program of victory, being made more than conquerors, dead to sin, sin's out of the way, now we're alive under the purpose and program of God. That's what stops sin in our life. You see, the thing, the greatest incentive that you'll ever find in your life to serving God, to stopping sin, stopping the old life, and stopping the unworthy activities, and serving God, and just living like who you really are in Christ, is understanding what God has accomplished for you in His Son by His grace. Realizing that you're no longer the old man. You're no longer in sin. You're no longer under the authority of sin. Now you're a child of God living in the riches of His grace. So you shouldn't live like somebody you aren't. You know what your Christian life is? The newness of life that you're to walk in is just to go out here and live like who God's already made you. Have the attitudes that the renewed mind finds the doctrine in Romans to Philemon giving you. Think like the new person you are. Think the new way. Act the new way. Just go live like who God has made you in Christ. And let that be the reality in your life. And when you do, then you participate in this wonderful program of victory in Jesus Christ that is yours by God's grace and for His glory, just as the gift to be received by faith. Thanks for listening today. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God.
Friends, we have an audio CD we would like you to have to go along with today's study.
It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thank you for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal. If you simply write us here at The Message of Grace, the address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48088. If you prefer, you may also call 586-778-5032. To get the correct tape, just let us know the date you saw the program. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. If our study together has been a help to you, we would be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48088. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.
He took the blame. And then I cry, what wonderful grace, what wonderful grace.